Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 5. I want to deal with a few thoughts that the Lord had left us. Matthew 5 and verse number 1, we know that it is the Sermon on the Mount where the Lord had some words to say. I love every word in the Bible. I think every word is inspired. But I like what the old country preacher said. He said, I don't understand everything about my Bible. I don't know everything about it, but them red words show are special. And you know what Jesus has to say ought to mean something to us. Matter of fact, we live in a day, seems like it don't matter what He's got to say about nothing no more. And it's not really what me and you think. It's what this book says is the end of the story. He said, seeing the multitudes, He went up to a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came to Him, and He opened His mouth, and He taught them, saying. Now, I'm going to tell you when you'll learn something when Jesus says something to you. And I'm going to tell you, you'll never really learn things until you've been where things are. A lot of people, they say, well, if you love Jesus, you know, then you'll prosper, have health and wealth. And certainly that does come with some of it, but that's not all the story. Because He told His hand-selected few, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We may cry here, honey, but there's coming a day where there is no crying. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Wouldn't it be a blessing if everybody was like Brother Adam here? Wouldn't it be a blessing if everybody is like Brother Tim? Brother Mike, just hungering and thirsting after righteousness and didn't care how long the preacher preached. I don't even know why some of you come to church, you're so bored. I don't know why you waste your gas. I guess you're just going through a rhythm. I'm not much of a preacher goes through a rhythm. Everything I do, I'm either in or I'm out. I can't relate to this old cold-footed Christians. I can't relate to it much. But I know you can get there. I've been there. But He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. He said, don't think it's strange if everybody ain't as hungry as you are. He said, there's coming a time when you will be filled. Don't let that mess you up this morning. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You better hope that you've got a little mercy about you. Because it's coming a day you're going to need some mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. A lot of folks love to stir up junk and trouble. And I sure want to be a peacemaker. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You better be glad people are talking about where you go to church. Some of our young ones went to school and told the lady in line where they went to church. She said, oh, that church. Yeah, that church. Thank God. I'm glad my name's on the sign at Liberty Baptist Church. Thank God it ain't no dog and pony show going on in here this morning. Blessed are you when men shall revile you, cast their teeth on you, persecute you, shall say all manner of evil things against you falsely. Well, he's a dictator. Well, I ain't an imitator. And I ain't an agitator. And some of you's an alligator. But I go on record, I am the head tater here. And just because people pooch their lips out for decisions I make, somebody's got to make the decision. Amen. Somebody's got to step up and run this thing. Somebody's got to step up and take charge. I don't think no little woman in a dress is going to do it. You can do that whatever you want. But rejoice. Be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets, which were before you. Hey, by the way, what are we whining about? I done found out anybody stands for rights going to be ridiculed. You can be seated this morning. I often wondered, you know, I'm the type of fella I love for everybody to love me, but everybody don't love me. I mean, I found out sometimes it's even hard for my family to love me. Oh, I know you're a real thought of yourself. You know, Brother Randy helped me one time and here in leadership, and I do believe in leadership in the church. I thank God I got good men around me to help me make decisions. And it's not a one-man show the way a lot of people think it is, but at the end of the day, I'm accountable for everything that happens in this place. The Bible teaches that in Hebrews 13. You may ought to look that up. That I must give an account. You won't give an account for this. I will. That's why I say who preaches here and who don't preach here. Who sings here and don't sing here. Some people think that they're the pastor and so they got to get in lead in front of the preacher. But then you get out of balance. And then you get all messed up. But anyway, Brother Randy helped me one time. He said, Brother Ken, if you're going to lead, you're going to be talked about. And if you're going to lead your home, you're going to be talked about. If you're going to lead your family to church, you're going to be talked about. And so a lot of times I don't know what we're crying about. We've had it better than any generation that's ever been born in the family of God. Look at what we've got to worship in this morning. I mean, is there a prettier place in town? I've never seen none prettier than this. We have padded pews. We've got four thermostats. We can get the building just right. I mean, we got a paved park and you don't even get dirt on your shoes walking to Liberty Baptist Church. We've got another parking entrance so you don't have to park too far. We got it made. But we sure do cry more than any generation. We cry and complain a lot of time because one car won't crank, so we get in the other one and go to work. We complain because, you know, we wore this suit last year, then we got to wear it again this year. We find ourselves a lot of times complaining about things we ought to be rejoicing about. We complain about our children, the way they're acting crazy. Well, you ought to thank God they're not in the graveyard. A lot of times I get to thinking, you know, the older you get, kids get on your nerves a little. And then I get to thinking, well, you know, a lot of folks never did get to have grandchildren or children. Let's keep in church real this morning. And Jesus is writing a sermon. Jesus is the greatest preacher that has ever preached. And he said this, I want you to rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. A lot of times we lose focus of where we're going, where we're headed and what's waiting on us. This is not all that there is to it. Matter of fact, you know, you've got to have a goal. The greatest goal I know is to get to this place where Jesus is saying, heavenly reward. Now he said, they persecuted the prophets which were before you. Now he says in verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Well, it's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. I want to preach on the salt life Christian this morning. You know, we see a lot of times, I don't know if you notice this, but you'll notice there's a new phrase, a new cliche, a new sticker says salt life. It means they enjoy things around the ocean. They are a beach-minded person. But can I tell you, Jesus said that We all ought to have that fire branded in our heart. We ought to be a salty Christian. Ye are salt of the earth. Now I want you to notice, first of all, there's the condition of the salt. It acquired mining. Now I want to say that salt, it had to be found. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus come to where I was and dug me out of a bad place. Now what would me and you have done if he had left us alone, friend? I appreciate that text this morning. In Psalms chapter number 40, Psalmist David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. And he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. And he established my going. Well, I want to say I'm glad that I've got a God that found me. I didn't find him. Matter of fact, he wasn't lost. I wasn't looking for him. But I'm glad he found me. And he found me in a bad place. He dug me out of this old world. Ain't it amazing how nasty this world's got? Don't take you long, neighbor, to realize we live in a bad place. I mean, a rotten, rotten place many times. A stinking place. And I'm glad that we see about the condition of this salt, how it was found. And, you know, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. Every one of us that are saved by the grace of God, it's a miracle that God saved us. A miracle. Isn't it amazing that somebody good as him would die for somebody bad as us? And thank enough of us to put us under the Word of God and send the Holy Ghost to deal with our heart to draw us into family. That's amazing. It's just a miracle that you got saved. Boy, we are trophies of grace, aren't we? When God looks around, He sees what He's done for us. And every chance we get, we ought to remember where we come from and throw our hands to. You say, well, preacher, you can't be a Baptist and praise Him. Honey, let me tell you, Baptist was praising Him for any other outfit ever come on the scene. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so, certainly we ought to praise Him how He found us. And you know something, when He found us, He didn't leave us there. He favored us. He put us in a good place. He took us back to His house, put something in us that made us different. Aren't you glad He didn't leave you just how He found you? I mean, He'll take you the way you are, but I'm going to tell you now, honey, if you really get saved, you're not going to stay the way He found you long. And I know it takes time. You know, somebody big as God, if He lives in you, He ought to be hanging out on us somewhere. And if He is the God of fire, the Bible says, and the God of fire fills us, there ought to be things in our life that's burning up. Boy, I'm glad that He takes us the way He finds us, but He don't leave us that way. So the way that He found us, but the way He favored us, He got us out of that place and put us in a good place. And then the way He flavored us. You know, salt is white. Some is different colors, but the salt that me and you are acquainted with, it's white. Aren't you glad that when God saves us, He puts holiness in us? You don't hear much about holy living anymore and separation and sanctification. But you know, certainly the way that He found us and favored us, but the way He flavored us. Now I want to say something. Salt has different sizes of grains. There's all different shapes and sizes, but you know, it's still salt. Now God's got different flavor. And you know, when you're in a church that's growing, that's why it's so important that you let people be themselves. Now, there's a rule of order. You know, I wish everybody would behave the way I warned them to behave. I mean, I would have this button to mash and this and done that and this and that and that. But, you know, God don't even do people that way. A lot of you living with people, you wish that they had a button on them and you could mash, pick up your socks. and wash the clothes and sweep the floor and cook the supper and get a job. But you know, we all are different. And a lot of times you'll notice this, the people that bothers you the most are the ones just like you. I mean, you get two boy dogs in a pen. Now, I'm going to tell you, you got issues. That's why some of you are married. You're just alike. And so until you give in to the dominant force, which is the man, I know that'd get weak, then you're going to have some issues. And it's no problem with a woman having her own mind, having her own opinions and say so. She'll be involved in decisions, involved in the family. But that at the end of the day, sir, you're going to give an account for your household. The Bible teaches us to submit ourselves. That's a hard thing for people to do, is submit. It really is. Matter of fact, that probably holds more people from getting promoted at their job than anything. Did you know if you cannot submit to authority, then you never can be an authority? And you know, a young preacher, the first thing he's always got to learn is he's got to be able to be led before he can lead. And you young people, you know, you can't have a nice house and two cars and all these things your mom and daddy's got until you've submitted to the real deal and done what you got to do to get there. And so we find ourselves, we're all different in our profile and our makeups, but we all have something in common. We're all salt to the earth. Now, that lets me know something, first of all. We ought to not think a lot of ourselves. Because Jesus said in just a little bit, you're good enough for people to trample their feet on you. Now, I wouldn't be thinking too much of myself. And I tell you what I've noticed in this Christian walk of life. You better not be thinking that you done got up so high that you can't be knocked down. And I'd be real careful to think that I've arrived or my little bunch has arrived and nobody's like my little bunch. Don't we get partial? And that's where churches get messed up. They go to getting cliques and claques and schisms and thinking this little group ought to run it and that little group. No, everybody ought to shut their mouth and surrender to authority and say, God, you're the head of my home and my church. You're head of everything I've got. And that's how people get out of balance and out of bounds. That's how homes are destroyed. And so that's how churches are messed up. It's how jobs are messed up. And so we are different, the condition of the salt. Boy, how he found us. A lot of times a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't know why we ought to be so happy in church. Well, you ought to remember where he found you. You ought to thank God that you're not tied up in an old legalistic, formalistic, religionist church this morning, that you can come to the house of God, hear the Word of God, and praise the Lamb of God every chance that you want to. Think about Brother Donald, I'm glad he'd stand up just in Sunday school and all of a sudden just stand up and go to bragging on him. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that's the way church ought to be. And a matter of fact, if you'd smile sometimes, let your face know you got saved, people beside you would enjoy you a whole lot more. But we are different. There's different sizes of this salt. And so we see its condition, how he found. Matter of fact, we ought to thank God that he dug us out of a bad play. But then the capabilities. Jesus is saying something that we need to take to heart this morning about this salt life Christian. And first of all, the capabilities of the salt. I want to say that salt preserves from decay. We're very important to be in this world. Now, this world is not in the best shape it's been, but I've been in other countries, and I'd still rather be here than any other place that I know. I mean, I know we've got our issues as a country, and we've got morale problems. I mean, homosexuality is running rampant. Soon before long, no doubt, legislation will be moving in Georgia that you can marry a man to a man. That's abomination. That's out of the pits of hell. That ain't in our Bible. I mean, if it was not for the for the salt of the earth people that have godly standards and morals that wouldn't stand it on this book, this world would be chaos, friend. You know, salt, Jesus says, I want you to be salt now, your capabilities. I want you to know that you can preserve from decay. And, you know, in Genesis 18 and verse 23, you can look at that later, but Lot finds himself in Sodom. And Lot took himself away from Abraham. And he messed up because Abraham, the father of our faith, he was the uncle of Lot. Abraham offered him something. He said, what side do you want? Now, let me tell you where Lot messed up. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going where you're going. Amen. He forgot about the pecking order, and he forgot about where his bread is buttered. See, the reason he is blessed is because God had blessed Abram. He was a tag along. And Abraham had such a good heart. He said, all right, boy. Said, God's blessed us so. Said, our herdmen are striving. They ain't getting along. You pick your side and I'll pick my side. What? I'm going to tell you what Lot should have done. He should have said, hey, boys, come here. He said, you see that old man over there? That's how come our table's loaded down. You see that old man? That's how come our wagons is a... Boy, ain't it something the way we get to forgetting about who's been a blessing us around here. A lot of times when we go to getting in bed, we forget about where all the blessings come from. He ought to call them together. He said, I tell you what, I've got me a razor strap, and I'm fixing to tear every backside up and don't line up and get right in this outfit. Amen. He said, that's the father of our faith. If he tells me to go back over yonder and mow the yard, that's where we headed to go mow the yard. Now, y'all need to hush your mouth. Amen. This squabbling and a mobbling and a going on acting stupid. And he'd have fixed things, but you know what he said? No, I'm doing good. Look at what all I got. I don't need you no more. That old yonder looks pretty. I'm going to go over there and pitch my tent. And you know what he done? The Bible said, but there was a problem with Sodom. It was well watered, but they were wicked sinners. And he took his family in that place. He took his family in that place, but there's an issue. Everything looked good when they rode up to town. But their family got settled down. And I done found out when you get settled down in a place, it's hard to get out of that place. And so the angels come in and told Lot, he said, now listen. He said, we're going to burn this town down. He said, well, listen, God. He said, if there's 50 here, would you save it? He said, yeah, I'll do it. He said, well, it may not be 50. What about 45? He said, well, yeah, I'll save it for 45. He said, what about 40? So he goes to negotiating with God and he gets down to 10. Abraham said, Lord, surely it'd be 10 down there. Lord, don't burn it down for Lot's sake. Don't burn it down. Surely, surely. Now, Lord, you wouldn't burn it down, would you? He said, well, if it's 10 left down there, I won't burn it down. Abraham said, wonderful. I know Lot's got all of his family saved. But you know what? I'm talking about salt. I'm talking about salt preserving things and salt keeping down corruption. Guess what? It wouldn't 10 saved. God burnt the town down. And you know them young'uns he led in there, mom and daddies, he couldn't lead them out. You better be careful where you're taking your family. You say, well, they're young, you know, they make their own decision. Now, let me tell you something. If my young'uns are listening to me today, I can give them some good advice. I don't care if they are 25, 6, 7 years old and got grandbaby. If they'll listen to me, I can still give them good advice. There's some older people in this church, if I'll listen, they can give me some good advice. Well, come to find out, the angels let them out. Talking about salt preserves from decay. Then you know the story. When Lot got out what he could, the town burned down. You know, you may be surprised how much you're preserving things from decay in the area that you are. You know, I remember when I was at Pepsi-Cola, I'm not tooting my horn, not putting a feather in my cap, but I do remember this. You can ask the boys here today that's still there. I had a Bible on my desk. You know what? You can go in them officers' offices and you see Bibles through the plant. And boy, isn't it amazing the way salt keeps down rottenness and things. Have you ever walked into a crowd of filthy talking people, all of a sudden they said, shh, he's a Christian. I wonder, would anybody hush up from their dirty stories when you walked up? I wonder, would you chime in on the dirty, smutty joke, or would you make them shut their mouth? Oh, I'm just preaching, keeping it real this morning. I remember one time I was on an airplane flying somewhere, and you know the stewardess come, passed out the drinks, and that time, you know, man, they gave you peanuts and a cold drink, didn't charge you for it. And oh boy, I know they ordered him a Budweiser. And you say, preacher, you know what a Budweiser is? Well, you think I live in a corn crib or what? So he was enjoying that thing, you know, he thought, looking out the window. And all of a sudden I sat beside him. He looked over at me. I could tell he's a salesman. You know, he had that real bubbly personality. He said, how you doing? I said, man, I'm great. He turned that up. He said, what you do? I said, I pastor a Baptist church. He put that Budweiser in the cup holder, and he never did take another drink that whole flight. See, a little bit of salt to go a long ways that we know nothing about. But I'm going to tell you what our problem is. Christians have lost their saltiness. We're afraid somebody's going to talk about us or make fun of us. But honey, let me tell you, Jesus said that they persecuted your forefathers. And if you stand for me, they'll persecute you. You don't win the world being like the world. You say, well, I'm afraid I'll offend them. And if I make them mad, well, honey, just let God sort it out. It do a lot of our Baptist churches in town to get a little salt back in their britches. Matter of fact, I found out Jesus had an issue with churches didn't have salt in them. He told them in Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 14, he said, I have a few things against you in Pergamos. He said, because you have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Doctrine is important in the Baptist church. Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Now there they was putting up with spiritual fornication. They were putting up with the priestly hierarchies and the popes and the cardinals. Boy, we ought to have salt in our church to keep rottenness from moving in. Preserves from decay. You'll notice in verse number 20, Jesus said to the church in Thyatira, notwithstanding I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Jesus wants us to have salt in our church. I'm not talking about seeing how obnoxious we can be. I'm not talking about how fundamental, how separated, how mean we can be. But I'm simply saying, do what Jesus said, being salt. Salt that preserves from decay. Lord, I wish we had more Christians that had salt that could preserve this nation. Our nation is fastly becoming a socialistic country. Our borders have been let down. Our morals are at an all-time low. Brother Dwayne, babies are being slaughtered by the thousands, and now it's no more than killing a dog. Matter of fact, you'll get more for killing a dog than you will a baby. Got a church member summons to court the other day in Burwell, Georgia. You know where that is? That's where I live. There was a man took a house cat. Lord, I'm glad nobody's got cameras at my house. Took a house cat and throwed him across the yard. Did you know they put him on probation? Whew. Boy, I better quit preaching. I'm going to dig myself a big hole. I'd hate to tell y'all what happens to a cat walks on my truck. Well, them muddy footprints, somebody save me. You little tree hugger. You still pouting out there about where that tree used to stand. You'd probably be out there having a little cross put up about that big oak tree got sawed down. Little feely-meely whining Baptist you. Lord, may God help us to have the guts and the integrity to stand for what's right. May we preserve this nation. Proverbs 14 and verse 34. Proverbs 14, verse number 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin tears down. Sin destroys. Righteousness builds. God honors righteousness. The salt life. Not only the condition, but the capabilities. God intended us to be salt. We are to preserve from decay. Salt preserves. Did you know, young'uns, before the old-timers had refrigeration, they'd preserve things in salt. My granddaddy had a salt box. And I can remember when we'd kill them hogs, old-timey hog living. First of all, we'd take the liver and put on the fence and let it drain. Oh, some of y'all fixing to leave me now. And then we would eat that liver for supper. You know, and you had to cut that liver just right. Man, I must be hungry. Fried liver and gravy. Don't worry, I'll get on your little pet rabbit in a minute. But you know, we would take them hogs and we'd cut them middlings out and them hams out. And this is what Granddad always said. He'd pull that salt out of the box. And he said, listen, you rub that joint down good. He said, you rub that thing good now because it's got to cure out. Then they'd take a wire and they'd put in the shank of that thing after it's salt. They'd put it in a Duaner sack. Four, y'all know what I'm talking about. Hang it up in the smokehouse, and in about 6 weeks, you know what? He'd take that ham out of the box and he'd hang it. I'd say, Paul, why are you just taking it out in 6 weeks? He says, because it's done took all the salt that it'd take. And then when he hung it, we'd go out there 4th of July with a butcher knife, and you're talking about being owned. You young'uns think about it. You know what it is about being owned? Let me tell you what's being owned. When you get up at Grandmama's house and you smell that Tennessee country ham all through them four rooms, and she ain't calling nobody to get up out of bed. It preserves things. You know, I can remember one time, we went, a man crossed the road, he started selling hams, and people in our area wanted some of them Tennessee hams. So when me and Renee would go back and at Mom and Daddy's, I'd go across the road and we'd buy them hams and bring back. I know Brother Mike had bought one, a few of you in the church. But he had an ice pick, and he'd pull that ham down off them rafters, and he'd lay it on a big old piece of wood, and he'd take that ice pick, and he'd stab that ham, and he'd pull it out, and he'd smell of it. He'd say, that one's ready, boy.
And he'd stick that and he'd pull it out. That one's ready, boy. You can take it back to Georgia. I remember one time he stabbed one. I mean, it was nice looking, and he stabbed me. He said, "Whoa, that's runt." And a lot of y'all don't know what runt is. But let me tell you, you don't want to cook none of it. You know what he said? That one didn't take salt. Salt preserved. And not only does salt preserve from decay, but salt is an antiseptic. It irritates and it stings. You know why people at your job really not so fond of you and you irritate them a little bit? You know how people always want you to co-sign on their sin? You know, wouldn't that be something when they're talking about you, boss? And then all of a sudden, when you come in the room, they keep talking. You ought to say, "Why are you talking about them? God says for us to pray for our leadership." Next time some of y'all have a preacher for dinner, I wish somebody would speak up and say, You'll go to stinging people. You know, every time you stand up for right, you know, it has a sting in effect. Have you ever got a wound, put salt in it? Boy, it stings, don't it? And so, you know something, I believe God wants to be salt in this earth in such a way that we irritate sin. It has a cleansing ability. You know, wouldn't it be a blessing if we all had enough salt about us that we could clean things up about where we live? Let me tell you, Mom and Daddy, something right quick while I'm not high on your list anyway. If you'd get some salt about you, you'd quit pumping that trash in your living room that your youngins got their britches wearing down about. If you get some salt about you, you'd stand up and you wouldn't let that garbage be pumped in your living room. You got a remote control. Well, a lot of you looking. We not praying right now. We preaching. Some of y'all come in, looked at me and said, "How more they any preaching in him?" Well, I'm wondering, can you take preaching? Do you think that your mom and daddy or your grandparents would allow the vocabulary coming in your living room off of TV today? I'm not talking being a hermit. I'm talking about just scanning what your youngins are doing. Some of them Nintendo games that they're doing, they're killing, blowing brains out, guts everywhere. And you wonder why youngins is killing mom and daddies. Preacher, you can't grow a church like that. Oh, I want good growth. I want it so when it hits the fan, people standing with me. This little happy, clappy bunch that... not clapping much this morning. You know I'm telling it right. Isn't it amazing how sex sells? Let me go on and get on that just a minute. It won't cost you no more. I'm glad y'all done paid your tithes before you heard this sermon. A lot of you be wanting a withdrawal, won't you? Isn't it amazing at the nakedness on our TV? Isn't it amazing? Why does aftershave have to have naked people to sell? They trying to sell lawnmowers with nakedness. There was an old girl the other day got on there and selling lawnmowers. My two son-in-laws in the living room, I said, "Do you know what that lawnmower was?" "Ah, you little henpecked rascal. You go out. You know, you little henpecked rascal, you." Like us three boys even seen a lawnmower. We ain't seen no lawnmower. "You little henpecked rascal, you. Like you ain't human." You say, "Well, that don't bother you." Well, it bothers me. Absolutely. You say, "Preacher, I won't fall." Why won't you fall?
That's a better question. Why won't you fall? You pump your mind full of that garbage. Why won't you? I can tell you right now, there ain't a man in Carroll County more scared than what your preacher's scared of falling. But why won't I fall? The songs we hear. Who ever thought a tractor was sexy? They some weird backward people. I mean, that's perversion. I'm sorry, now I'm just a country boy. Don't take you long to figure out what side of the road I'm on. But I can tell you one thing. Salt irritates and says, we ought to stand up for what's right. Well, I got to be their friend. Your kids don't need you to be a friend. I can tell you right now, mom and daddy's dressed their little young'uns in this church in such a way they went to the world and they said, preacher, why'd my young'uns go to the world? You dress them like Hollywood, they go to Hollywood, and then you scratch your head about why's my young'uns acting crazy? Lord God, my neck's hurting, my back's hurting, but I'm telling you, my heart ain't hurting. Boy, I must pastor a rough bunch where y'all got me walking, limping, and crow hopping. I mean, I've seen it. And this is what kills me. Well, I'll make her mad. Pop them jaws. Booyah! Who's paying the bills here? 11-year-old or grown folk? I'd love to tell my daddy. My daddy made me get a little buzz cut. You know, that's when hair was cool and bell bottoms and stacks. Miss Eula, I had stacks. Platforms. Any of y'all ever wear them? Lord, I knowed I was redneck. Bell bottoms and stack shoes. I wanted to let my hair grow out. My daddy set me in a chair when I was about 9 or 10. You know what my daddy said to barber? Get it. Boy, I'd love to have them locks grow down, you know. Do that flip. Now I'd have to do a swoop, amen. Easy now. Easy now. It's getting loose. Easy now. Easy. I don't think I told my daddy how he was going to do things. And you know what? I had a good daddy. I had a daddy that loved me. But I didn't tell him how things was going to be. Capabilities. It irritates and it stings. And then 2 Kings chapter 2, I won't go there for the sake of time, but it makes bitter things sweet. Did you know that they came to Elisha and the pool of water was bitter and he got a cruse of salt and he threw the salt in the water and he made bitter things sweet? You know, salt just brings things to life. Who was it the other day? We was eating watermelon this summer and some foreigner got the salt shaker, and they said, what you going to do with that? I know where it was, in Louisiana. They had them little sugar baby watermelons, them little wonderful. I'd get up and preach it, they'd bring me one. I said, where's the salt? They said, salt. How would somebody balance your prayer? Does anybody put salt on their water? Thank God I'm not the only crazy person. They said, salt? I said, man, that brings sweetness out. Y'all don't put salt on your watermelon. You know, wouldn't it be a blessing if we had salt life and we could make some bitter things sweet? Y'all know I'm not a Georgia boy by roots.
I'll be here 32 years soon. We got a church member here. His name's Brother Felton. I won't call his name. But we was riding the other day, and there was a tree, and it had this big golden fruit on it. He said, "Preacher," he said, "you ever eat one of them?" I said, "No." He stopped that Duramax. He said, "Man, go get one of them. They're wonderful." And so, you know, good preacher I am, trying to please all his church members, I went right on over there and I got, and you know what it was? It was a quint. Now, I had no idea nothing was like that that God made. I bit in that thing and it was unbelievable. And you know what that smart aleck said? "Oh, preacher, you got to put salt on it." Salt to make a lot of things better. People, you know, what kind of church would we have, Brother Tim, if we didn't have salt? People trying to have church today without salt, you know, bring the world in. You know when it's sweet, when a little girl and her mama's up singing, the presence of God comes around. People hurting and struggling, they just begin to throw their hands up and praise Him and thank Him for what He's done for them. I can't tell you how many times the devil's told me, "Preacher, you better back out of that salt box. They're going to leave you. You're trying to build a church, preacher, and you can't build it with that salt box preaching." Well, I've said this, and I'll close to say it again. I've said all the time, Brother Jake, if we'd just keep preaching the old truths, the old doctrines out of the old right Bible. Brother Adam, just keep singing the songs out of that Cleveland, Tennessee redback hymnal. We'd have something to offer to people that other churches don't have to offer. Salt box religion. You see, salt purifies, salt stings, salt sweetens things up. You know something? Salt promotes thirst. Did you know when we eat them country hams, you know what I'll do all day? Matter of fact, I won't even eat it and go hunting, Brother Randall. I can't tote enough water with me. One old feller said, I liked what he said in the book I studied. Am I doing okay on preaching? Am I all right? Fellow I was reading after, he said, you know the old saying, "Preacher, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink? Well, salt him." Salt him. Maybe the reason people not getting thirsty for Jesus, because we ain't got no salt. I'm not talking about being obnoxious. I'm not talking about ramming Jesus down the throat. I'm just simply preaching and promoting what Jesus intended us to be. Salt. Salt people go to church. Salt people pay their tithes. Salt people love one another. And salt people stand against sin. We ought to be offended at sin. Let me ask you something. Why in every church in our country not writing in to our legislators about this same-sex marriage? Why aren't we standing up being salt? I know the Bible said in the last days it shall wax worse and worse, but we got to do our part. I asked Brother Mike yesterday about some things, and Brother Mike told me this. He said, "Well, you know, preacher, people's got responsibility."
We do.
Miss Julie, if you come. Boy, wouldn't it be a blessing if you could get somebody around you so thirsty that they'd come to the well and drink. Well, preacher, how you do that? You just practice the salt life and live being a Christian in front of. Now, I want to say this right here, right quick, because I don't want you to miss this. And I know I've done preached over 30 minutes, so I won't be on the radio anyway. There was a man that made a misbid on our church. And he is honest to me, and he called me last week. The bill was due. Brother Mike had to write the check, and he called me. He said, "Preacher, I want to tell you something. When I measured y'all's church, and I didn't measure it right, I missed it 110 yards. And he said, "I've lost $2,000. And he said, "I know I bid that, and that's all you owe me. But I wanted to tell you something, Pastor. I made a mistake, and I'm out $2,000. Now, the old business side of me said, "Well, bud, you made your bed, lay in it. You had the calculator. I didn't. You handed me the paper. I traded." Some of you may think like that. And I'm not going to reprimand you because I used to. But I'm going to tell you the new thought I had. I've been trying to get this man to church. I said, "How in the world would that man ever walk in the doors of Liberty Baptist Church and he knowing that preacher owed him $2,000? You know what I told Brother Mike? I said, "Brother Mike, the bill says this, but you make the check for this." Now, you know what a lot of y'all would have done? You said, "Man, God saved me $2,000. No, the devil was going to make you sell something for $2,000. I'm still preaching. Now, I wonder how I'd have made him want to drink if I'd have smoothed him out of $2,000. God, I want him so thirsty that he'll do like old Brother Felton or Brother Troy done when they fell by that post right there one morning and said, "I'm going to hell and I want to drink." How's your salt life? I'm not talking about being rude. I'm not talking about being obnoxious. I'm talking about being a Christian. Simply being salt. Just so common people. You know, if I really need something, you know who I'm going to go see? I'm going to go see common people. I don't think they up here that they'd cry with me a little bit. Well, I guess this sermon's like most of mine. I'm not done. I'm just going to have to quit. But I do want to say this. There's corruption of the salt. See, Jesus said that it can lose its savor. Here's a verse we ought to underline in Jude 21. "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Keep yourselves. What's he talking about? Salt has lost its savor. It came in contact with the element of the world. When it got out of that place and it was put in the elements, it destroyed its effectiveness. It took the sting out of it and it became common dirt. As Julie, you sang this morning, whatever you need in your life, I wonder, are you salty Christian? God, would you help me to be a salty Christian? Would you help me to do what's right?